Good morning. It's good for us to be here, and we appreciate the presence of everyone, especially our visitors this morning. We're thankful that you're here. When I think about what people want in their lives, one thing I think about is they want their prayers to be heard. We're going to talk about prayer this morning. And really, I think everybody in this auditorium this morning would, when they pray to God, they want God to hear their prayers. If there's one thing we want in life, is we want God to hear our prayers. And you know, I think that's even true among individuals that may not be all that religious. Sometimes you may work with an individual or you may know someone. They're not really particularly religious. They don't go to church anywhere. They don't read their Bible or anything like that. But from time to time, they get in a bind and get in a bad spot and they want to offer up a prayer to God. And they want God to hear their prayer. I think one thing that most people want in life is for God to hear their prayers. Well, we need to understand that in order for that to happen, we have to be living right. And so in Luke chapter 11 in verse 1, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." We're going to let the Lord teach us some things this morning concerning prayer. We all want our prayers heard. I think all of us here this morning do. But it's not necessarily that God is hearing all of our prayers this morning. It could be that He's not hearing everyone's prayer. And so you and I have to make sure that our life is right with God before God hears our prayers. And that's why I wanted to study this morning. I want God to hear all of our prayers. I want us all to be on praying terms with God, because prayer is something that is dear to many. It's something that's close to many. But we have to go back and review and check and make sure that we are living right so that God can hear our prayers. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about what I'm going to call prayer rules. They're not my rules. They're the Lord's rules, the Lord's guidelines to acceptable prayer. And that's what we want to consider this morning. And you know, there are many things that we could look at regarding the subject of prayer. We could look at what prayer is. We could look at the different elements of prayer. Sometimes we talk about confession or intercession or thanksgiving. We could talk about the necessity of prayer and those types of things. I believe all of us here this morning agree that it's necessary that we be praying to God. But this morning we want to focus on those guidelines or the conditions that make our prayer acceptable to God. We can't just live any way we want, and then when it comes time to pray, have God hear our prayer. We need to be living in an acceptable way so that our prayers are acceptable to God. And so that's what I want us to consider this morning. We need to understand that we just simply cannot choose any way we want to live and expect to be heard. We cannot pray to God any way we choose and with any kind of an attitude or any kind of a lifestyle and expect our prayers to be heard. They may not go any higher than the ceiling if we're not living right. They may not be heard because we're not praying right. We don't have the right attitude, the right life. And so we all want our prayers to go higher than the ceiling. We want them to go to heaven and be heard there. At the throne of God's grace, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. But we have to be living right in order for that to take place. And so just as John taught his disciples to pray and Jesus taught his disciples to pray, let the Lord teach us this morning some guidelines. They're going to be what I'm going to call some do's and don'ts of acceptable prayer. What should our attitude be? What should our life be so that God can hear our prayers? And what's interesting about this lesson is, in just a few minutes, we're going to have one more prayer at the end of the service. Wouldn't it be great if God heard that from each and every one of us? And so there may need to be some changes made in our life even this morning, so that when that final closing prayer is made, God hears our prayer. You may need to change something. We may need to change something so that God will hear that prayer in about 30 or so minutes. Be thinking about that during the lesson. There may be something that we need to change even this morning. And so, these guidelines come from the Lord. And really, they have to do with both private and public prayers. We might be in the privacy of our room at home, or it might be here publicly. These do's and don'ts follow a natural progression. We're going to start off with the way we need to be at the very beginning, and then we're going to move all the way through to the end of the prayer when we say, in Jesus' name. And so you're going to see a natural progression as we go through the lesson. And where it begins is with a life right with God. Let's look at some do's. Number one, we need to be right with God so that our prayers can be heard. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 34. There are several passages in God's Word. We'll look at just a few of them this morning. Number one, if we want God to hear our prayer, we need to be in a right relationship with God. We need to be a Christian. We need to be a faithful Christian. And we need to obey the gospel the right way. We can't just live any way we want, and then when it comes time to pray, whether it's for food or anything else, well, God hears my prayer. No, I've got to be a Christian. I've got to be following God's Word. This is true in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In Psalm 34 in verse 15, the eyes of Jehovah are toward the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of Jehovah is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cried, and Jehovah heard, and delivered them out of their troubles. We have to be right with God. Look at Psalm 66. And verse 18, Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That's just plain and simple. And that means if there is sin in my life and I'm holding on to that, the Lord will not hear me. It's just plain and simple. And so if I want God to hear me, I've got to get the sin out of my life. And that means I've got to obey the New Testament gospel plan of salvation in the right way, have my sins washed away, and live right if I want God to hear me. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. Jehovah is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So if I turn away, I don't want to listen to God's Word, I don't want to follow God's Word, that's a choice that we can make in life. But when it comes time for me to pray to God, God's just not going to hear me. So I've got to be right with God. Look at Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2. These are Israelites, but God would not hear them because there was sin in their life. God does not hear the prayer of someone who is living in sin. John chapter 9 verse 31. That's why Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 that when we pray, men are to lift up holy hands, that there's to be holiness in their life. And so we must not have an attitude of persisting in sin. God simply will not hear our prayers. I have a question this morning. Are you on praying terms with God? Are you right with God? Am I right with God? Have I obeyed that gospel plan of salvation? Or are we living the way we've just been living? We're not on praying terms with God. We cannot persist in sin and have our prayers heard. If we are sinners, God won't listen to us. And so we need to be forgiven. How can we be forgiven? We obey the Lord. We must first repent and pray. And then our prayers will be heard. And if we have not obeyed the gospel at all, we need to obey that for the very first time. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1 with regard to those Israelites that we spoke of earlier. What did they need to do? They needed to stop living the way they were living and turn back to God. In Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead the widow. In other words, turn your life around, then I'm going to hear you. In Acts chapter 8, verse 22, when Simon, a new Christian, had fallen into sin, Peter says, repent and pray that the thought of your heart would be forgiven. Repent first. We've got to stop that sin. We can't persist in that sin. We can't just keep living where we don't want to listen to God's Word. He will not hear us. And so we need to be on praying terms with God. The Lord hears those who obey His Word. And if for the very first time we need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins and come up a new creature in Christ, we need to do that if we want our prayer to be heard. If we've already done that and later we fall into sin, we need to repent and then pray. We can't just keep living in that sin and just offer up some prayer and expect for that to be heard. So first of all, we need to be right with God. But also, here are some other things. We need to pray in faith. When we pray, we need to believe that God is, and that we believe that He will hear us, and that we believe that He can do something with regard to our prayer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. We can't offer up a prayer and then say, well, maybe God heard, maybe there's a God or not, maybe He heard me or not, maybe He'll do something or not. We can't do that. We have to trust and believe. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, but even you shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, and you shall receive. And so there has to be a sense of full assurance. And the word faith here, the word belief here, is used in the sense of full assurance, no doubts. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. We don't need to pray, but at the same time we're praying thinking, well, I doubt this is going to do any good. I doubt God, there is a God. Just in case there is, I'll pray. No, it can't be any of that. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. Notice how faith is defined as not doubting. Sometimes faith is used in the context of believing in Jesus Christ, believing in God, things like that. In this context, it's believing in the sense of not doubting. It's also used that way in Romans 14:23. Ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. You're not going to get anything from the Lord in prayer if you are a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so here's another do, if you will, another guideline. We must ask in that way, with faith, nothing doubting. In James chapter 5 and verse 15, the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? It's the same as chapter 1, verse 5. The prayer of faith, the prayer that does not doubt. Okay? And so we have to have that in our prayers. You know, prayer presupposes the existence of God. We can't say, well, I don't know if He exists or not, but I'll offer up something. We must believe that He is. We must pray truly believing that God will hear us and answer us. And that's the way God wants us to pray. Prayer is not just sort of a backup plan. An iffy kind of thing. Well, if there is such a thing, I'll do it. No, it must be something that we truly believe in. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And we believe that, that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. And so, we're going to pray, not doubting. A doubtful Christian does not expect God to answer his prayers. So why offer a prayer if we do not believe that God will answer that? Now, he may not answer that in the way that we want. We know from Paul in the thorn in the flesh that he might give us another answer, but we believe he's going to answer. And we believe that he is, and we believe that he hears us, and we believe that he answers. So, number one, we're going to be in a right relationship with God. Number two, we're going to pray in faith. We're not going to have any doubt with regard to that. And number three, we're going to pray with respect. In the scripture reading that we had there in Luke chapter 11, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The same thing is mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, if you'll turn with me there. We're going to pray in and with respect. We're getting loose in the 21st century. We're getting loose in our decorum. We're getting loose in our dress. We're getting loose in a lot of things with regard to our relationship with God. And we come in and just sort of pal around with God. We're seeing a lot of that. Christian rock music, I believe, is fueling a lot of that personally. There's a lot of this just easygoing coolness about religion. And a lot of church services are engaging in this kind of thing. And we need to be very careful about that. We serve a God in heaven, and we need to remember who He is and where He is. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. The English word hallowed means set apart, sanctified, not common. This is God in heaven. This is not just some man that we pal around with, and some have even called God Big Daddy. Yes, we converse with God, but we do not converse with God like we would converse with a friend where we're just having a good time. And we certainly do not belittle Him, and so we must not approach God in a flippant or common way. Notice, the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, I'll teach you one thing. One thing I'll teach you is, remember your reverence and respect for your Heavenly Father. Here's how you do it. Hallowed be Thy name. His name is all that He stands for, all who He is. And you remember that He is in heaven. And so we need to pray with respect. Now, that doesn't mean we use a certain set of words, some Church of Christ words or some memorized words. We all pray differently. Every one of us here use different words, but we all need to be speaking with reverence and respect to God. We want our prayers to be heard. Number four, we need to ask according to God's will. You know, sometimes we forget that, and maybe we've all been guilty of that. I know that when I pray, I need to remind myself it's not about me. And it's easy to get inward and preoccupied and focused on self, but we need to remember that we ask based upon what God's will is for us. In Psalm 145, turn with me there. We need to remember that God is in heaven and He has a plan and a word and a will for us. And that is what is important. And in Psalm 145 in verse 18, Jehovah is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. Look at this. To all that call upon Him in truth. And so it has to match with what God's truth is. Sometimes prayer, especially people who are trying to pray to God and they're not really religious in their life, they don't read their Bible. They don't know what the truth is. They're just saying some things. We've got to pray according to the way God would have us to live in our life, according to His will. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. John tells us that if we want our prayers to be heard, it has to be according to His will. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Look at that. That's a condition of acceptable prayer. John says, God hears us because we keep His commandments. Well, what's the conclusion? If we don't keep His commandments, He does not hear us. That's the point earlier. I am amazed that you'll turn on the TV, and while I appreciate people in Hollywood and the music industry and the movie industry, while I appreciate them trying to be religious, they will offer up prayers, and they aren't even close to following the commandments of God. But they'll offer up prayers, and sometimes they'll talk about God publicly or Jesus Christ publicly, and they're known for their immorality in their life. But they'll throw the idea of prayer around. It's just something you throw around. A known homosexual, a known adulterer, unknown alcoholic, or whatever the case might be. So prayer is just live any way you want, just something you do, and God hears it. No. No, we're going to keep His Word and follow His Word. So then look at chapter 5 then, verse 14. And this is the boldness which we have toward Him, that if, look at that, if is a condition, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. That's a big if. And that's an important if. And so, we do have boldness and we do have assurance, but it's based upon the if. We must pray according to His will. We need to understand God's will. Paul talks about praying with understanding. I believe in that context of 1 Corinthians 14, 15, it's praying. He's praying in tongues and speaking in tongues and singing. And there needs to be someone to interpret that so that we can understand that. That's the context of that. But we could apply it to just simply understanding God's Word. We pray according to His will as Jesus did. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 and verse 42? Not my will, but thy will be done. Let this cup pass from me, but if it's your will, not my will. What is God's will? Well, part of His will is expressed in His Word. And we have to pray according to that. And so Jesus sets the right example. Also in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10 in the Sermon on the Mount, did you notice that Jesus prayed, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It has to be, what is God's will? And for us, that has to do with knowing God's will as it is revealed in Scripture and praying according to that. We can't pray for something in my life if it's obviously contrary to what is written in Scripture. And Paul was satisfied with just simply letting God's will be done. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I alluded to this earlier. Paul's thorn in the flesh. He really wanted it taken away. Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He hath said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasures in weaknesses, and in injuries, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm just going to let Christ have His way and His power in me. And if that means that it's not taken away, then so be it. So I have to ask according to His will. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. I believe praying according to His will is the same as another statement that we have in Scripture, and that is praying in the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, also Jude verse 20. But turn with me to Ephesians 6, 18. When we pray in or with the Holy Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all times in the Spirit and watching thereunto in all perseverance. We are praying in the Spirit. We are praying the way the Spirit wants us to pray. Well, how does the Spirit want us to pray? Well, He tells us that in His Word. So our life needs to match up with the Word of God, and our prayers will be heard. Number 5. We need to be specific. There's nothing wrong with being specific. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. We don't need to be generic. We don't need to be vague. There are specific things that we need in life, and the Father knows that, and we need to mention those things to Him. This is the part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. God answers us individually. There are things that Larry needs that I don't need, and vice versa. And He's going to answer Larry according to Larry's needs, not Chris's needs. And so we ask and we seek for specific things that are going on in our life. And one way to do this is to pray for the immediate circumstances right around us. the death, the illness, the job loss, the family problem. We know what is going on right around us. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Here's a great example. In Acts chapter 4, the immediate circumstance was Peter and John thrown in prison for preaching the gospel in Jerusalem. And when they're let out, they pray specifically for that thing. Be specific. You get up each day and there are specific things going on for that day. Talk to God about those matters. In Acts chapter 4, the problem was Peter and John being put in prison. And then again in Acts chapter 12, Peter again in prison. And so the church gathers together to pray for him. But in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, the prayer starts back in verse 23 and the circumstances, but verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings. He's talking about Peter and John. They've just been let out of prison. Look upon their threatenings and grant unto thy servants to speak thy word with all boldness. This is the specific need that we have right now. In chapter 12, of course, we know that Peter was in jail and they're praying for him in the house of Mary there. Be specific. And pray according to God's will and with respect, and God will hear us. Number six. We need to pray with thanksgiving. We need to be thankful. We need to be filled with gratitude. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. No matter what is said to God in prayer, the one praying must have gratitude. We're not just simply going through the motions. We're not praying with anger and upset, and we're uncaring and unkind and you know, just sort of going through the motions. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious or worrying, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let it be known unto God. That's like serving corn on the cob with butter. That's like serving mashed potatoes with gravy, something like that. They go together, don't they? Okay? So it goes together. Now here's the thing. That would be easy on things that we enjoy, things that are going good in our life, but what about the bad things? We can find thanksgiving even in those things. Things that are taken, people that are taken away from us, problems, job loss, injury, theft, house burns down, tornado comes through and wipes out our place. We have to find gratitude and thanks even in those things as well. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. We've got to be careful about being bitter, being angry, being upset, being unthankful. And that's hard sometimes, but it's a condition of acceptable prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving. Watching therein with thanksgiving. And that brings us to our next point. That there has to be watchfulness when we pray. There has to be vigilance. Continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein, in the prayer, during the prayer, while the prayer is going on. And so we have to pray with watchfulness. What did Jesus tell Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he say? He walked away a little farther and he prayed, but what did he tell them? Watch and pray. Remember that? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray. And later, Peter did what? He denied the Lord. Not long after that. Somebody says, well, you know, when I'm praying, the devil's not around. And the devil can't touch me. And the devil's not going to do anything with me. It wasn't long after Peter, James, and John were there where Jesus told them to watch and pray. It wasn't long after that Peter's denying the Lord. It can happen right now during the service. It can happen right now. It can happen when you walk out of the building. It can happen at any time. The devil's not, you know, off on vacation somewhere. He's always roaming about. And so even during prayer, we have to be watchful and we have to be vigilant. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. The Christian must be spiritually alert even when he's praying. The devil can tempt us to sin even while we are praying. I wanted to work up a lesson. I haven't gotten it done yet. Sinning after singing. Jesus and the disciples sung a hymn, right? And then what happened right after singing a hymn? Well, Judas goes and betrays the Lord and Peter denies the Lord. Sinning after singing. Doesn't take very long. Doesn't take long after singing or praying or reading our Bible for the devil to be right there again. And so we have to be mindful of that kind of thing. And that's why we have to be watchful. Watchful that we're praying according to His will. Watchful that we have thanksgiving. Watchful that we are not saying or asking for the wrong thing. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Vigilance. It's not just emotions that we're... It's not just something you just put your mind on neutral and you just going through some things. But we're really careful in what we're thinking and saying while we're praying. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Casting all of your anxiety upon Him because He careth for you. Be sober, alert, clear-headed, clear-thinking. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is roaring like a roaring lion walketh about. And so, right after casting all of your anxiety upon Him, of course that would be through prayer, the very next verse, be sober, be watchful. And so that's a part of acceptable prayer. And then we need to be persistent. We need to be persistent. Turn back with me to the scripture reading that Carlin had earlier. Right after when the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, and He has some things there about prayer. He also wants to teach another very important lesson. Turn to Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. There's actually a couple of places in Luke where Jesus wants to teach the idea of persistence. I'm just going to pray one time, and if it doesn't happen, then yeah, I give up. God wants us to come back over and over again and stick with it. And we're losing that in our world today. Which of you, having a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is come from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. That's the old English word just for persistence. He sticks with it. Keep knocking. Knock, knock, knock. Okay, I'll go to the door and give him what he wants. He will arise and give him as he needeth. I say to you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Persistence. Turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18. Prayer is not about, well, a one-time little short thing and it gets it done. God wants to see how we're going to act and react and how we're going to stay with Him and grow and learn and mature and stick with it all the way to the end, like Job, all the way to the end. Go through the highs and lows. Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and to faint not. And it's the widow who went to the judge, Please avenge me of my adversary. And she kept pestering Him, as it were, and He granted that. Crying unto Him night and day. And then look at verse 8. When the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? What He's talking about is the faith that is exhibited in verses 1 through 8. The faith that persists. That's not a generic statement. When Jesus comes, will He find people who believe? It's the context of what He's just been saying. Will He find people like this who are persistent? And that's what Jesus is looking for. We cannot pray to God too much, and we need to be persistent. In James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it talks about how Elijah was fervent in prayer. Literally, prayed with prayer. We cannot pray to God too much and too often. We need to be persistent like Elijah, like Epaphras, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Earnest in prayer. I find it interesting that Jesus says that we're to pray for our daily bread. Well, that implies daily prayer. But sometimes people will go a long time and they haven't prayed. Do you pray for your meals? Do you pray for your meals or just get it and start gobbling it down? Do we pray or does somebody else have to pray for us? We need to be praying. And we need to be persistent and daily. And I say that in a kind and loving way, wanting all of us to be on praying terms with God. One thing that we all want is for God to hear our prayers. And I want us just simply to follow these things that Jesus has for us. Let's be regular in our prayer and be persistent. You know, we sing in our psalm books, I need thee every hour. Okay, well, let's live like we do and show that. Really? I need thee every hour? Yes, we do need God every hour. Well, let's act like it. And we sing, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Well, let's live it. Do we really mean this? I believe we do. When we sing it, let's show that. And often pray. Last of all, notice it's a progression. First of all, I had to just be in a right relationship with God, and that might mean coming forward in just a minute and being baptized into Christ, or as an erring child of God, coming forward, let us know that you want to make a change. I got to be right with God. That's the first thing. And then it progresses all the way through with some of these things that we've been talking about, all the way up to the very end. When I close my prayer, it has to be in Jesus' name. There are so many passages. Let's just look at one of them in John. If you're making some notes, and you're welcome to my notes. There were so many slides that I didn't do a handout this morning. You're welcome to all of this material. If you'll let me know, I'll make a copy. There are many passages here that speak about praying in Jesus' name. But look at John 14, verses 13 and 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. Verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Praying in Jesus' name. It's not just words we say. It's not a memorized thing we say. It means that we've offered up a prayer, and by the authority of Jesus, we're offering this to God. His authority, His position as our mediator, all that He is, all that He stands for, we are offering this to God by Jesus' authority. Some people, it was very common when I was little, and it didn't matter who you were, when you said a prayer, you pretty much closed it with, in Jesus' name. Do you know that we're getting rid of that? We've been getting rid of that for the past 10, 15 years. You'll hear it at ball games, other public kinds of places. The guy will get down and he'll say, amen. We've taken away in Jesus' name because we don't want to offend certain ones that don't follow Jesus. But we want to offer up this prayer to God, but we don't want to offend certain ones. And so people are doing that. And I heard it just a couple of weeks ago where a person closed a prayer and just said, amen. The odd thing about that was it was in a religious setting, which I thought was kind of odd. But people feel the pressure to be politically correct, not to offend certain, don't offend the Muslims and others that might be in the room. And so we're just going to say amen. We need to pray in Jesus' name. He's our mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5. He's our advocate, 1 John 2:1. He's our high priest that we go through, Hebrews 4, 14 through 15. He's our intercessor, Hebrews 7, 25. And we go to God through Jesus. And He is the only way to God. And we should not be ashamed of that. There is one mediator between God and man. One, not two. 1 Timothy 2:5. And as offensive as that might be to the Hindu and the Buddhist and the Muslim, it is what it is. We're getting in a world where we are compromising, where we want to be politically correct, we want to make everybody happy, and we are falling down on with the truth. We are letting the truth fall. There is one mediator between God and man. Himself, man, Jesus Christ. One. And so we go to God through Him. And we must not be ashamed of that. Two more points, and then the lesson is yours. A couple of don'ts. Those were do's. Here's a couple of don'ts. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're not going to pray for display. We're not going to pray to be seen and heard of others. It's not about us. It's about us talking to God, but it's not about bringing attention to ourselves. The scribes and the Pharisees would pray out on the street corner. They would make a big show of all of that. They would bring attention to themselves. Look at how holy and righteous I am. Don't do that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to pray for display. When you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. That's their motive. We've got to check our motive. Why are we praying? What's our motive for this? It's not going to be seen. So something public or to be heard. He goes on to talk about vain repetitions in verse 7. We're not going to do that. Our prayer will not be heard with that type of thing. We need sincerity and humility. This will keep us from violating this guideline. The Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 stood and prayed, but his heart and life was not right with God. We must approach God with a humble and contrite spirit. Psalm 51 and verse 17, and then God will hear our prayers. And then last of all, we do not need to pray with some selfish kind of motives. That's why we said earlier that we have to pray according to God's will. Turn with me to James 4. We don't need to pray with wrong motives that are selfish in nature. We're not asking according to the Lord's will. We're asking according to our own will. What do we want? Our wishes, our motives must be consistent with God's will. James 4:1, whence comes wars and whence comes fightings among you? Talk about brethren. It's terrible, brethren, we're fighting. Come they not from your pleasures that war in your members? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. You lust, evil desire, and have not. You kill and covet, you cannot obtain. You fight in war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not. Why doesn't God hear my prayers? You ask and receive not. He doesn't grant it. Because you ask amiss that you may spend it in your pleasures. So, we're asking God for selfish types of things. But then somebody says, well, how do I know the difference? Well, maybe this will help. How do I know if my motives are right or not? How do I know if I'm asking for something selfish or not? What are we going to do with what God gives us? What are we going to do with what we're asking for? That's a good test. Is James talking about praying for physical things? No. Look, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, Jesus said to pray for your daily bread. We can pray for physical things. We can pray for things like physical health. Turn with me to 3 John. The problem is not, are we praying for something physical? The problem is, are we praying for something that we might use it on our selfish pleasures? We're not using it for God's purpose and God's will. Look at 3 John. There's nothing wrong with praying for physical things and necessities and needs. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health. So that's health. But what are we going to use our health for? What are we going to use our daily bread for? We might even pray for better transportation, a better car. But what are we going to use that car for? To help bring people to services? To go visit the shut-ins or something like that? Or for my selfish purposes, you see? So we cannot pray with display. We cannot prey with the wrong, selfish, pleasurable motives. Well, why doesn't God hear my prayers? It may be that God is giving us a different answer than we expect, or it may be that we're just not right with God. And we're not following these guidelines that He gives us. And so I wanted to go through those things again, because stop and think about it, brethren. Many of us here in this auditorium, what is one thing you do a lot during the week? What's one thing? Maybe even more than reading your Bible or singing. Wouldn't it be praying? It's something we do a lot. So we need to remind ourselves of those guidelines, right? And if it's something that we're not doing a lot, then we need to change that and we need to pray more. But we need to be right with God. We must follow these guidelines laid down by the Lord. He knows how we ought to pray. He's going to teach us how we are to pray. And we all want our prayers to be heard. Now, like I mentioned earlier, we're going to have a closing prayer here in just a minute. Wouldn't it be great if God heard each and every one of us when we did that prayer? But you may need to come first and obey the gospel plan of salvation the right way. We would encourage you to do that. There's water ready. We can do that. Garments ready. We can make a change. That's all easy to do. Or as an erring child of God, you may need to come back in some way. But our prayers aren't heard if we're not on praying terms with God. And maybe you need to begin that this morning. If we can assist you, if we can help you, just come forward. We can talk. We can talk about that. Let your needs be made known, and then we'll go from there. If we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?